Follow me down this deep, dark hole.
Welcome to New Horror Express, your weekly podcast chatting to the best indie talent the horror genre has to offer. I'm your host, Scott Murphy, and on today's podcast, I'm chatting to, wait for it now, actress, model, presenter, singer, screenwriter, food blogger, and UK scream queen, Dani Thompson. Whew, that's a lot. Over the course of the interview, I chat to Dani about how she got into acting, why she gravitates towards horror, and we clarify from the many, many upcoming projects she's attached to, according to IMDb, which ones we are likely to see soon, which ones we might see in a little while, and which ones we will probably never see at all. Plus, I talked to Dani about her debut album, Vamp, where she finds the time for her many different ventures, and somewhat bizarrely, we end up going on a Count Dracula tangent. Not what you probably expected from this show, but there you go. Anyway, you can hear all of that and much, much more right now in my interview with Dani. Hi, Dani. Welcome to New Horror Express.
Hello. Thank you.
So, well, we've got you on the show today to talk about a bunch of things. I think a good place to start, though, because I recently had Alex Church and Michael Holiday on the show, and I saw from their Twitter accounts that there's been some recent filming activity on The Decorator. So I was going to ask you about that first, of the many projects that you're currently working on.
Okay. Well, I've just actually shot a day for one of the segments in Mosaic.
Right.
So the character I played in their movie, Ice Cream on the Beach, I played a character called Paula Valentine, and she's actually an actress. So this part that we filmed, it was like Strippers in Space Massacre 7 or something, but it's actually one of Paula's films rather than mine, if that makes sense. And I'm actually shooting a proper scene as Paula in a segment called Sandcastles. So it sounds really complicated, but it will all make sense, I think. They seem to know what they're doing with it, so I'll just turn up and, you know, do my job.
Well, they told me about the spaceship that they had for the stripper massacre thing.
Yeah, it looked so good. They did a really good job with it in a studio in Southend, and kind of wires and things on the wall. It did look really space in the way they lit it. But my costume, I wore like a silver jumpsuit and had a blue wig. So it was quite out there, but I thought it looked kind of spacey.
I also recently saw from their Twitter account, they put up a bunch of fake posters for the kind of Paula Valentine universe. And so do you think that's going to happen, the whole Paula Valentine universe?
I mean, I would like it to, because I love working with the guys. Like, they're so nice to work with. They work really, really well together, and they have a really good team. And it's just really nice being on set with, you know, people that you really like. So yeah, I'd like to make all of the Paula movies. But I think that was actually for a segment called Fanboy, which Tony Marden actually plays a fan of Paula's. So that all those fake posters were for his kind of bedroom scene, and which sounds like it was really funny. I think they filmed maybe yesterday or the day before. But yeah, I mean, it was fun shooting the posters. We did it all really quickly on the same day as we were shooting the striptease massacre scene. But yeah, it was fun just like wearing loads of random different things and then seeing what they ended up doing with them. I think my favorite was the bat when I'm upside down as a bat. I quite like that one. I'd like to be a bat, a vampire bat.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you first get that part, the part for it of Paula and Ice Cream on the Beach?
Well, I think I saw a casting, and I messaged the guy. So I didn't know them at this point, and it was just a tiny scene. And it was the decorator. So it was the original decorator, which is just literally a scene that some of the characters in Ice Cream on the Beach are watching. So they're watching something on TV, and this is the decorator. So I shot that. And then about 2 years later, they still hadn't shot the film, and I saw them at Horror on Sea. And they were like, send me an email after that. And they were like, look, we actually want to bring you back to play one of the main characters, but we're still going to use that scene, and it will be like, you know, she's an actress. So that's where, I mean, I don't think that was originally meant to happen at all. I was just meant to be a tiny little role. And then they asked me to play Paula, which, like, she's so much fun to play. Like, she's a really fun character because she's really spoiled. And but I think she's deep down, she's nice. Like, she's just a bit misunderstood. But it's quite fun playing a brat because she's a bit of a brat.
Yeah. I was going to ask that, actually, because, like, you often hear actors say that, you know, not how, like, if whether they're playing like a villain or a bratty character, or whatever kind of character they're playing, that might be seen to audiences as unlikable, that they've got to find like a likability within them to play them. Do you find that true?
Yeah. I mean, I've read that a lot. And I think you do. You have to obviously kind of feel something for them, to be able to kind of get in their shoes and know where they're coming from. You have to know what drives them and what their kind of motives are, and, you know, the reason why they are the way they are. So you kind of make up a backstory for them, whether it's, you know, whether you use it or whether it's just in your own mind, you kind of know. But I feel like she tries really hard. I think she's very kind of desperate for the attention, and but it doesn't come from like a, you know, a bad place. It's just she doesn't quite go about things correctly, I think. So, yeah, I mean, I think that is true.
So have you done all the filming that you're going to do on Mosaic, or are you in other segments? Or are you just in that one segment?
I'm actually in a segment called Sandcastles. So the Striptease Massacre, I think it's just the opening scene. And I think, again, it's people are watching one of Paula's films. So that's what that was. But I'm actually filming Sandcastles in June. I'm hoping for some good weather, because it's kind of rained the whole of May, and this is shooting on the beach. So I'm hoping the weather picks up. Yeah. It's towards the end of June, so maybe.
Oh, fingers crossed then. It should be fine by then. Yeah, it's the same up here. It's just kind of rained for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to go to Norfolk this weekend with the girls, and I was like, it's just going to rain the whole weekend, so we've kind of postponed, we're just going to wait till the summer.
You also mentioned one of the other segments in Mosaic, Fanboy, that stars Tony Marden, and you're also in his film, The Witches of the Sands.
Yes, I've worked with Tony a few times, actually. I met him on the set of Beyond Fury. I think he actually dragged me off and got me killed. I blame him, his character. But Tony's a great actor. He's a really, really lovely guy. So I'd actually had him shoot a scene for me in a movie called Bad Moon Rising. I can't remember the name of my own movie here. He came in kind of last minute, and I reshot a scene, basically. So he did that for me. And then he basically asked me to play the same characters I play in Bad Moon Rising in Witches of the Sand. So I did a tiny little bit as the character Lucy, because they have like ghost hunting TV show called Scream Team. So I did a little scene from Scream Team. But I think I'm going back. Well, I am going back in July as well. He's got a big scene to shoot. So he's got me doing some stuff there as well.
Do you have an idea of what the finished film might look like? It's interesting because I've interviewed Tony. Everybody says the same thing. I've interviewed Tony, and then interviewed Alex and Michael, who are editing it. And it sounds like it's going to be fun. Like, nobody knows entirely what it's going to be in the end, but like, it sounds like it's going to be fun.
Well, this is it. I like, you know, because I like really like Tony, he just asked me to do it, and I was like, yeah, I didn't even ask questions. So I don't really have a clue. I haven't seen the script. I mean, the piece I did, I just had to ad lib it. So he was just like, you know, do what you want. So I haven't a clue, but I know he's got some amazing cast members. And I think that's, again, it's down to his likability. I just don't think people can say no to Tony. So, yeah, I mean, he's got some amazing people in it.
That's true. I mean, you look at the cast list and it's like, it's Linnea Quigley, it's Lloyd Kaufman, it's Giovanni Lombardo Radice, it's Brink Stevens, you know, like all sorts of people are in it.
It's literally everybody who's anybody in horror is in the film. It's like it's a list of amazing names. I know he's got some of the Hammer. I think has he got Pauline Pert? I think he's got amazing people.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's like, I mean, I know you kind of just filmed your own segment, but, you know, talking of that, like, that would be the second film that you've been in with Giovanni Lombardo Radice, because he's in Beyond Fury as well.
Yes, I didn't actually work with him in Beyond Fury, though.
No, none at all.
No, I didn't have any scenes with him, so I didn't get to meet him. And this is often the way you're in films with people, but you don't necessarily meet them. So. Yeah, I mean, that was shot a long time ago as well, Beyond Fury. That was shot over a few years. I think my hair colour changed in the middle, and then they had to kind of wait for me to go back to brunette. I think I went in red for a while in there.
I suppose that's the difficulty with indie filmmaking, eh? It's just like it's filmed over a while, and then like often post is quite a long time, and you know, by the time it comes out,
yeah,
you probably filmed it like 2 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, my film Bad Moon Rising, the edit is just finished in lockdown, and that just got stuck for years in edit, and it was really nobody's fault but mine. It just kind of got sat on for a while, and then other things kind of take over and it just takes a lot longer. But that was actually due to screen at Horror on Sea in January this year, and then obviously got postponed to May, and then it's been postponed again now it's going to be next year, but it's going to be released by the new VIPCO, so that's still exciting. And I should be working with those guys. I don't really want to say too much at the moment because I don't even know if I'm supposed to, but they've got some plans for me within them. I am doing another film with the VIPCO guys, actually. I did Harvest of the Dead with Peter Goddard and Devil in the Woods with Tez Elliott, so they're kind of all involved in VIPCO now, so I'm actually doing another film with them this year. Apparently, I haven't given me any dates, called Blood Will Be Blood, which I get to play a hippie type character, which will be quite fun. And I have another hippie role this year, so maybe this is like my new thing. I've got that Blood Demons, where I also play a hippie, so that's gonna be fun this year.
Excellent. And with Bad Moon Rising, so Bad Moon Rising is a film you wrote yourself, correct?
Yes, it was kind of an experimental thing. Originally, I was away in Bulgaria actually shooting something else, and we had a little bit of time, we went off and we shot some kind of found footage, but then the cast members ended up changing, so I ended up not being able to use that, and I'd kind of written the script around what we had, so that kind of got scrapped, and then I was left with this script. So it was kind of experimenting. It was done on a really, really low budget, and that's obviously another reason it got stuck in edit so long. But John Sellings is an amazing editor and VFX guys, and he was amazing to come on board and help me out with that. So it is done, and you know, it's experimental to see what we could do with such low budget. And I feel like we've kind of pulled it together.
Do you mind if I ask what was the budget?
It was about £5,000. So, okay. I mean, that was just really feeding people and paying for a couple of locations and, you know, equipment bits that we needed. So everyone just kind of did it on the love of making film.
Which is often the case in the people I talk to on this podcast.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of indie industry, and that's what's nice, is because the people are doing it because they love it. So everyone's there to kind of work hard and have a good time. And I think you just tend to work with nicer people. So, I mean, I'm happy that I fell into the horror thing.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit. How did you get into the horror thing as an actor?
Well, I was leaving drama school and there was a magazine called Gore Zone. I think it wasn't the original Gore Zone, it was like a comeback magazine, and they asked me to do like a celebrity ghost hunt, and then I presented a couple of them for them, and then I just met some of the crew on that who were happening to make horror films, so they asked me if I wanted little roles in their things, and then really it just kind of went from there. But I've always loved horror films, I've always watched horror. Like, it's very rare that I'll watch anything that isn't, you know, either horror or fantasy or something. So I mean, obviously you kind of want to make the kind of stuff that you love. A lot of it's just been word of mouth. Like, at the beginning I was auditioning and kind of, you know, trying to get jobs for different people, but now I keep getting asked back. So I must be doing something right. So yeah, people keep asking me back, and then you meet other people on set, and it's just a case of like, that's really the way it works for me now.
Yeah.
So I knew like my Myco from Horror on Sea, and then obviously went to Pandemonium with them. And I think it's such a small crowd. Like, everybody just knows everybody in the industry.
Well, yeah, I definitely think that there's a lot of, you know, connections with the same people. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'm interviewing you kind of on the back of, I interviewed Alex and Michael, and I asked them, you know, if they knew people they could get me in contact with. And then I got, you know, I ended up interviewing MG Dixon and Tony Marden. And, you know, like, so yeah, there is, and I feel like that is the same kind of all over the world, kind, you know, in terms of like people I've interviewed. Like, a lot of the Canadian filmmakers I've interviewed know that all the other Canadian horror people, and a lot of the American ones know, like, in America, I suppose it's a bit different, but like, in, you know, the LA ones know all the LA horror crowd, and the Austin ones know all of the Austin, you know, Texas horror crowd, whatever, you know, it does seem to be like it is these kind of clumps and collectives, and there's, you know, it's quite tight knit communities.
I think with a lot of us, I think Horror on Sea is like a major deal for, like, you know, UK horror. I don't know if they're even keeping it in the same location, but it's in a hotel, and it's like runs over two consecutive weekends, and they always do discounts on the rooms for people at the festival. So it's just people kind of get together, and it's like reunions every year with all of your friends. But obviously you get to watch each other's films and do a bit of networking there, and I think that's kind of what kind of where we all really met.
And I think I mean, the horror film festivals are great, and I think builds a lot of these connections. So there's quite a few in the UK, you know, between Horror on Sea, and there's Grimfest in Manchester, Fright Fest in London, Glasgow Fright Fest, Dead by Dawn here in Edinburgh. There's quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot. I've never been to Grimfest. I've been to Fright Fest before. Oh, is that where I went to wear your accent? I knew it was Scotland somewhere.
Oh, right, yeah, it's Edinburgh. Yeah, you'd probably notice it quicker if I, you know, interviewing you from Glasgow. Not quite as distinctive as other parts of Scotland, or so I've been told.
Okay.
Yeah, I think other accents in Scotland are like just broader. If you're talking to somebody from Aberdeen or Glasgow or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough about accents.
But we digress.
That's what this show is all about, random tangents. We'll go back. So it seems like Horror on Sea is really the, you know, your go-to festival. That's, you know, you've been there. What was it, like 6 years in a row or something, had films
something
there?
Like that, yeah, like, and I think this year I was supposed to be in four films that were screening, so I think he's going to try and honor the films that were supposed to screen for next year, but obviously then there's going to be so much more, so I wonder if he'll do a bigger festival. I don't know how it's going to work, but I think it's a good time now, really. I think a lot of people during the lockdowns have been doing a lot of writing. I know I've been writing myself. So it's like, obviously everyone's got projects ready to go now. So I think there's going to be a lot kind of getting made before the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely haven't talked to a lot of people, but it did seem to be the way of, like, you know, because everybody's been cooped up, that, you know, towards the end of this year, going into 2022, it seems like there's going to be a big splurge of activity.
Yeah, hopefully. I've got loads that I'm supposed to be doing. I've kind of lost track, to be honest. I'm just like, I write it in the diary, and then I just take my diary to see where I'm supposed to be and when. But I've got, what have I got coming up? Well, I've got the Sandcastle scene, Power Tool Cheerleaders versus Boy Band of Screaming Dead or Screeching Death. I'm never really quite sure what it's called. Blood Demons, Blood Will Be Blood, I think it's called that. Supposed to be rescheduling Distance to Margaret, which I was going to shoot with Sophie, but she's like working with Mike or MJ to help her out. So there's loads going on, and I'm supposed to be possibly going back to Texas at the end of the year to work with Joshua Kennedy as well. So I think I've got the rest of this month just to chill out, and then I'm back to work properly.
Yeah, I wrote it down actually. Like, I mean, I know it's not always the best source for what's going on, because some of these things are out of date, or some of the things like get left on and kind of forgotten about, even if they're not made or whatever. But like, according to IMDb, you have five films in post, 5 films that are filming and 7 films in pre-production.
They never materialize. So, I mean, it's not a great list sometimes, because there's things in there that just never happened. I don't know if they've been removed. But yeah, I don't know if you want to ask me about that, then I can know.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go through the big old list. And let's see if all these are still getting getting made. So we've mentioned Power Tool Cheerleaders. Sorry, I'll say that again. We've mentioned Power Tool Cheerleaders versus the boy band of the Screeching Dead. So I know that one's.
Oh, it's Screeching Dead. See, I can never get the name right. I was like, is it Screaming Dead? Screeching Death? It's Screeching Dead.
It's Screeching. According to IMDb, it's the boy band of the Screeching Dead.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a really fun one. So that's written by Pat Higgins, who is one of the Horror on Sea alumni, funny enough. And it's a really funny script. It's a musical produced by Charlie Bond, who I worked with. I've known Charlie for a very long time, but I worked with her for the first time actually on Pandemonium. So she asked me to come on to Power Tool Cheerleaders, and also her partner James, who I worked with on Banjo. So yeah, like sort of people getting back together again in the same kind of crowds, as we've already said. But I mean, it's a really fun one. I've already done my musical number, which was quite embarrassing, singing into a trophy.
Well, before we go back to the list then, and it's going through this list to see if these films can be confirmed, we should maybe talk a little bit about that as well, in terms of your singing. You had an album that came out towards the tail end of last year called Vamp. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
So Will Metheringham had asked me a long time ago to do a guest vocal, I think, on one of his band Great Northern Hotel's songs, and I think it was used in the Pumpkin soundtrack. And then he was like, do you actually fancy doing an EP? And I was like, why not, it'll be fun. And then he just kept writing songs, so it ended up being a full album. We've actually just started recording for the next song, so we've done one song so far. We've re-recorded one of the songs from Vamp. We've kind of changed the lyrics a little bit to make it a little bit less naughty, a version that my mum can hear, because there is a naughty one. So I banned her, actually.
I mean, there's a song literally called X-Rated, so
yes, that is the one. But I mean, it's a really good song, it's actually quite catchy. So I've had friends that are like, I accidentally started singing it at work, and it's like highly inappropriate. The lyrics are inappropriate for the workplace, but
indeed they are. I listened to the album today, so I know.
I just love the music. I mean, the guitar on there and everything. I mean, it's like a really big song. But yeah, I mean, it was fun, really. I was recording up in Hull. So I think I'm going back in July. I think we're going to do a music video and possibly record some more songs.
What song are you going to do a music video for?
I think it's going to be X-Rated, but it's not going to be the rude version. It's going to be the new clean version.
The made for Radio 1 version.
Yes, that one. So yeah, the lyrics have changed to Rock Me.
I see.
Yeah.
I think the listeners can kind of guess what the lyrics are.
Yeah. I mean, I just really like this song. I was like, it feels really naughty singing this, but I do like the song, so we kept it.
And is it that kind of, it fits in with the kind of horror thing. It's like this kind of synth rock type thing. Is that the kind of music you listen to, or
So I've got a really eclectic musical taste. Like, I love Kylie Minogue. I've been a fan since I was 3. I love old stuff. Like, I love Elvis and like Marty Wilde and kind of all that old kind of 50s style stuff. But then I do like kind of indie rock. Yeah, so a mix of really cheesy pop and indie rock mostly. The next album, we've recorded one song called Butterfly, which is actually it's kind of an indie rock pop, really. So I think the other, it's going to be a little lighter, the next album, but I say this and then we just never know what we're going to end up writing.
Do you plan to ever do like any gigs for that? I mean, obviously gigs aren't a thing right now, but like when gigs are a thing again, do you think you'll do any gigs for it for maybe
well,
the second
I
album?
Know- I know Will's really keen, but I sing along in the car and I get the words wrong to my own song. So I don't know if I'd manage it. I was driving along with one of my friends. She's like, what words are you singing? I'm like, I don't know. She was like, well, how do you not know the words to your own songs? I was like, I forget them afterwards. So, I mean, I guess I could practice. I mean, I'm good at remembering my lines, so I guess it's the same.
Yeah, I mean, like you're flexing the same muscle, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't say never. I was wondering if maybe something at Horror on Sea might be able to do something, because they have it. It's like there's a big kind of restaurant area which could easily set up a band in. So maybe something there. But I don't know. Maybe.
Fair enough. So gigs possibly coming in 2022.
Maybe. Definitely a video. So.
All right. Yeah, so we'll check out this list again, right? So we've talked about Bad Moon Rising, so we know that one's definitely going to be. The next one on the list that's apparently in post is Nightmare on 34th Street.
That has been in post for ages. That's I don't know why it's not out yet. I mean, hopefully for this Christmas, we'll see. But we have shot it.
The next one, also apparently in post, is Mannequin, not the 1980s film.
Ah, yes. Mannequin was a really fun experience. That was Jason Wright, and we filmed in, I don't even know where we were, somewhere beginning with a G, but on a mannequin farm, basically. And we all, the cast and crew, camped. And it became like quite a family. Like two of the actresses on there are literally now my best friends. Like we see each other all the time. But yeah, I mean, we kind of bonded over camping and well, yeah, I mean, my character, I was actually the manic. So I was a baddie again. But the girls forgave me for torturing them on set. But we're friends in real life. So that was really fun. And I actually should be working with them again in August on the house that zombies built.
That takes that one off the list as well, because that's shown as pre-production. So that's two for one on that.
There you go. That one's shooting in August.
Excellent. So also apparently in post, Our Manor.
Yes. That is the kind of, I think it's like a gangstery style film. So it's not my usual style. I was asked to do it, and I actually wrote Tony Martin into that as well, because they last minute needed an actor. And I was like, come on, Tony. And he was very good in that as well.
I've noticed that you've often kind of worked with a lot of the same actors, a lot of the same directors. Do you like that, you know, kind of having the familiar faces around you on sets?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's nice to work with new people as well. But it's nice that if you've worked with the director, it's nice for them to ask you back if they want to work with you again to do something else. And obviously, then you know the way they work and you kind of build up a relationship. And with actors as well, I mean, I suppose if it's people doing the horror stuff, we all tend to know each other and we know how we can work together. So, I mean, I think it's just the way it works. I'm sure it's the same in all the film industry, isn't it? Like people tend to work with the same people over and over again. And I know with Bad Moon Rising, I wanted to cast people that I'd worked with because you know that they're going to turn up and do the job and they'll be good. So that's what I ended up doing. So that was Honey Holmes and Lauren Peter. I'd worked with both of them before. So kind of easy to cast that way.
I think that, like you say, I think that is true of a lot of different parts of the film industry. So maybe even more so with horror, because you do often see the same faces and, you know, with certain directors and, you know, obviously people have certain favorite actors and stuff to work with. And like you say, you know, if you have a really good working experience with someone, then you'll want to work with them again. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
So the next one on the list, apparently on post as well, is Forest of the Damned 2.
Oh God, that's from years. That's never going to see the light of day. That was like one of the first films I did.
We'll skip that.
That'll never see the light of day.
The next one I'm kind of confused by, because the next one that apparently is in post is Bite Night, but didn't that premiere at Horror and Sea? Isn't what's
it? I did understand. Yes. It did. I just think it hasn't been changed on there, but it hasn't had a release yet. So, yeah. But it did premiere. I don't know whether they were going to change the edit slightly or anything, but yes, it is done.
Excellent. We can kind of skip walk past the next couple of ones, because we've talked about Power Tool Child Leaders. We've talked about Mosaic. We've talked about The Witches of the Sands. The next one that's apparently filming is one I can't really pronounce, but I'll give it a try. It's called Saturnalia, where you play Saturnalia.
Yes. So that, I mean, shot in Texas last year. Went out to Texas and shot well, not last year, year before last now, in December, and shot three films in a week, which was amazing. Not the whole films, just my scenes from the films. But that was with Joshua Kennedy, who he's a big fan of the kind of old school horror. And I had gone to one of his premieres in London for House of the Gorgons, which starred Caroline Monroe and Martine Beswick. And I didn't actually get to talk to him there, but I messaged him afterwards. He just looked really busy. And then he was like, look, I've actually got something for you. I'll fly you out, we'll, you know. But then he said, oh, do you want to like do some scenes for Cowgirls versus Pterodactyls, which he'd already shot. So he squeezed me into that one, and also some opening scenes for Mantipus.
One on the list.
Yeah, so I actually have to film some more for that. I think he actually wants to reshoot my scenes. He decided to change the era a little bit. So I'm going to need to do different costume and different look. But yeah, I mean, he's got more ideas. I don't know what the ideas are. I think there's something, some mummy thing. So yeah, like, I mean, hopefully I'll be able to go out this year. It depends what the world does.
You saying that Joshua Kennedy is, you know, a kind of fan of that kind of old school stuff. Reading a few interviews with yourself, it seems like you're also a fan of some of the old school horror. I've seen you mention like Hammer films in a few interviews that you've done in other places.
Well, I'm actually playing catch up. I haven't seen all of the old Hammer stuff. Joshua like really tries to educate me and kind of gives me lists of things I need to watch. But I love the kind of style of the films then. And like, you know, I guess that's the invention really of the Scream Queens, wasn't it? I think with the Hammer glamour. But I actually did get a chance to go to the studios, the Bray Studios, which they still have big sound studios there. I think they were actually shooting Rocket Man at the time, but one of the studios was empty, and the photographer used to have an office there actually, so he knows the guy that kind of manages it now. And we just did a photo shoot, used one of the sound studios as a studio, but we shot kind of old Hammer style vampire stuff. And it was actually in the studio where Peter Cushing's Frankenstein laboratory set was built. And I got a chance to go in the old house, which is really sad because it's kind of dilapidated. It kind of got left to ruin. I think the developer wanted that to happen so it would get kind of knocked down, so that he'd be allowed to demolish it. But I think it's actually being saved now. They're going to refurb and turn it into, I think, don't know, a hotel or a private members club or something. But I actually did get to go in and have a look around. So it was really amazing just kind of being there within that kind of history of Hammer. So, I mean, that was an amazing day.
In your kind of catching up on Hammer, do you have any particular favourites that stand out to you?
I don't know. I mean, I like the Dracula ones. I'm into vampires. So, I do like those ones.
The Christopher Lee Draculas are really nice. Do you have a favorite of them? I could say that my favorite's probably Dracula, Prince of Darkness.
I don't know. I haven't seen them all. I also like the Gorgon. I don't know. I just like that kind of style. I mean, I always think I'm kind of from the wrong era. I should have been around then making those kinds of movies. But I'm glad that I found some kind of niche within horror now.
Yeah. Because I mean, yeah, there was a lot more kind of of the kind of dubbed screen queens of the British variety back in those days. That's kind of dying.
Yeah,
off.
I mean, it was with the studio systems, wasn't it? They were like signed to the studio, and and they shot however many movies they were signed for. But obviously, it's nice that you have the freedom now to work, you know, with whoever you like. But I don't know. I think it's just a nice time.
So, you know, you said you got into horror at like a relatively early age as well. Like, what was your kind of earliest horrors? What were the things that grabbed you that got you into horror?
So, one of the earliest horrors was It. So, I was in Canada. I used to go to Canada for the summers, and I was in the basement with some of my cousins, and I must have been about 8, so I was probably too young to watch it, and I was terrified.
Definitely.
I think I slept with the light on for about a week afterwards. And I quite like clowns, but I mean, he's just very sinister, isn't he? Like Tim Curry just plays him amazingly. So that was the first one. But I think even like cartoons, like I loved Count Duckula, and I liked like ghosts and things. Like I've always been into that kind of stuff. Like, even Scooby-Doo, like when you're a kid, that's, you know, that's scary.
That is a throwback. That's an absolute throwback to my childhood as well. Count Duckula, that's not a cartoon you hear about a lot, but That was a childhood favorite from mine as well.
I have the DVD box set and I have a Count Dracula t-shirt. I'm a big fan. I'm actually inspired. Like, I had a vegan blog for a while, which I'm revamping at the moment, but that was called The Vegan Vamp, and it was kind of inspired by Count Dracula because he was, of course, a vegan vampire dark that ate ketchup, not blood.
I remember it from my childhood. Partly I remember it from my childhood because not only was it one of my favorite cartoons, but I had a video, one of the VHSs when I was a kid, that there was a button on it that played the theme tune, and I played it like all the time, and my parents just absolutely hated
just hearing that theme. Such a good cartoon. But then I think after that, it was kind of more the late 90s when Scream and The Craft and Final Destination, I Know What You Did Last Summer, when all of those movies were being made. And I love that kind of style of slasher and that era of films, so the like kind of late 90s, early noughties films. So I think that's where I got really hooked. So all of the kind of 80s things I actually hadn't seen. I've kind of watched a lot of it and played catch up now, but like Nightmare on Elm Street and all of those that everybody had seemed to see. And I hadn't, but yeah, for me, it's all about the 90s slasher.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask your age, but I presume I'm of a similar-ish generation, because like that was kind of my period as well. Like when I was in my kind of mid-teens, seeing that all of that in the late 90s.
My high school years.
Absolutely. And at that time, did you ever have a thought at that time of like, oh, I want to do that. I want to be the next Neve Campbell or Jennifer Love Hewitt or, you know, whatever.
I mean, I just think, I didn't grow up in London. I grew up in Norfolk, which is, out in the countryside. And acting isn't like a real job. Like you would never know how to get into it. So I mean, even when I was younger, I liked the thought of acting, but I ended up studying fashion and kind of didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then when I started modeling, that's how I kind of ended up moving to London. And then everything just kind of fell into place. I did a summer course at a drama school. And then I enrolled for the year's course. So it's just kind of was a journey rather than, I didn't kind of set out to do it straight. I mean, I wish I'd thought about it sooner. I wish I'd have known how to get into it sooner and done it sooner. I could have like not wasted time doing all kinds of other things. But I just didn't know how to get into it really. So no, it wasn't like a purposeful decision.
Yeah. And in terms of like, but once you got into acting, was there a clear idea that you wanted to be acting in horrors? It sounds like you are a big fan of horror films. You said yourself that the majority, 90% of the things you watch are either horror fantasy.
Yeah. Well, because I'd kind of done a few roles early on when I just left drama school in horror, I just kind of fell into it, but I'm really happy that I did. And to be honest, I much prefer doing the horror stuff than doing other stuff. So yeah, I mean, I tend to stick with it. It's not, you know, obviously I would do other stuff, but I kind of like the roles I get. They're always fun characters. I always get covered in fake blood. Usually I usually die.
I was going to ask that. I've seen you being killed quite a few times. Could you estimate how many times you've died on the screen?
Oh God, I don't know. I mean, I've been strangled by Santa twice. That's a pretty niche death.
I mean, that is
to have happened twice. But God, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. I mean, or I get tortured. I don't always die. And I don't know if you've seen Pandemonium. They were umming and ahhing about whether to kill me, and then they decided not to. So I think, well, I've noticed on IMDb that MJ has put a new film up in which I would be playing Jasmine again. So kind of like a Pandemonium too. I'm not sure what the name is now, but that
it's,
could be fun.
Pandemonium Incorporated.
There you go. Yeah, I noticed that's up. So I'm not sure when he's looking at filming that, but whenever it is, I'm looking forward to it. Because Jasmine was another fun character to play. She was like very strong-willed. Like the leader of the bunch of strippers.
Yeah, and in that one, yeah, it's like for the listeners, spoiler alert, your character, it looks like your character's dead, but then in a post-credit scene, not dead.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, I was supposed to die, and then they were like, you know what, let's just shoot this, and we'll decide. And then they decided to keep me for another one.
Oh, like much like Paula Valentine, it's just an unkillable character. You're just going to start. This is going to be your new niche of unkillable characters that just come back from apparently fatal wounds.
Well, this is the thing, because I did say that to them, but Paula Valentine does actually die in Ice Cream on the Beach. But I think they're saying that, you know, it's basically there's no timeline. Like, the film doesn't follow on from the other film. Like, it's just you're playing the same character. Like, it's not, you know, it's not a case of like it being a sequel. It's just a completely different film where you are playing the same character. And I also actually went back to, so when I shot Banjo, I play a character called Dietz, and we actually shot Eating Miss Campbell last year. And I played Dietz again. So again, I got to reprise the same character, which I really enjoy. And I do have some more scenes from that one, actually. He's written some more scenes, Liam Regan. And I think it's shooting July and August. So, so that's again, same character.
And I noticed from Twitter just today that in connection with Pandemonium, that Michael are putting out an 8-bit video game. So you're going to be an 8-bit video game character in Pandemonium Capital Carnage, I think that's what it's called, Capital Carnage video.
I'm really excited about that. I mean, they have such good ideas. Like, they're literally always working and kind of doing things over at Myco. But I'm absolutely useless at playing computer games. But they did say it's going to be for PC first, which so I will be able to have a go. But I don't suspect I'll get past the first level. I'm useless.
Well, I mean, it could be all right. It could be, you know, it could be an easy-ish game. Like, I'm not, like, I'd probably give it a shot as well. Like, I'm not a particularly good gamer either, but
I don't think I even completed Sonic the Hedgehog back in the day. I can't even keep my five, so we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. Indeed. We can also knock that one off the never ending IMDb list. I can't remember where we got up to. Oh yes, we Mantipus, and then the Decorator, something called The End of October. It's apparently in pre-production.
I don't know what's happening with that, because that was somebody I haven't worked with before. Apparently it is still happening. I get the odd message every now and again.
Right.
With COVID, we'll see. But I don't know an awful lot about that one. But it could be fun. And the character was a witch, so I haven't played a witch.
What is it called? It says your character is the Witch of the Murder World, which sounds very mysterious.
Yeah.
You mentioned the house that zombies built, so like we know that one, and we've ticked off Pandemonium Incorporated. There's obviously something happening with that. So there's just three left, all in pre-production apparently. Something called Perfect 12.
I don't know what's happening with that. That's another one that's kind of supposed to have been happening and hasn't. So we'll see.
Okay. Dear Sister Margaret, where you're playing Mother Superior, apparently.
Yeah, so that is Sophie Phillips' film, and she's worked with Maiko before, MJ. So he's helping out on it. I'm not sure what he's doing on it, but he's helping out on it. And I saw the casting, and there was actually only one character left, and it was the Mother Superior. And they actually wanted somebody older. You know, more in the fitting with what you'd expect from Mother Superior, but they let me do a video, and I actually bought like a really cheap nun costume just because I thought, you know, it'll make me feel more nunny if I wear the costume. And and then they said actually they liked it, and they'll change the character to make it fit, so to make it younger. I think again she might be a bit dark, Sister Mother Superior. So I mean, I hope that's shooting later this year. I'm starting to work on all these projects, and my schedule's getting really busy. And I'm like, when will they?
It certainly sounds like it from this list. Of the IMDb list so far, most of them seem to be, well, there's definitely at least one of them that apparently will probably never come out, but most of them seem to be verifiable. The last one on the list does sound made up. The last one in the list is something called Creeps at the Gym, which that just sounds like it's, I don't know, it just sounds like it's made up.
It's going to be Will Metheringham's film. I don't know if he's still wanting to do it, or a possible horror musical instead. So we shall see.
a possible horror musical instead. That sounds interesting.
Yes, we shall see.
Okay. Well, that's the IMDb list cleared up. It's funny what you can learn on IMDb of possibly bullshit facts or possibly real facts. I was also looking at your trivia. According to your trivia, apparently you're a licensed croupier. Is that true? Or is that just IMDb trivia being like wacky?
No, I used to present online casino. So I mean, I couldn't do it in real life. Like, I would never be able to work out the chips and the adding up, to be honest. But I can deal. So obviously with online, as you pull the cards, they scan a barcode and then so they come off on the screen. But yeah, I can do roulette, blackjack, baccarat.
Okay.
So yes, there is that. I did about 3 years actually on two different casino, online casino companies.
So yeah, I just know that IMDb trivia can be quite unreliable sometimes, but that's fun. That's a real fact.
Credits as well, anybody can have anything, so it's, I think it should be the actor should or their agent should have to verify it to make it go up, but it's not the case.
Yeah, but then in the kind of the other way, sometimes it seems difficult to put things up. I was talking to a director in the podcast a little while ago, a Canadian director called Brandon Christensen, and his new project, a film called Superhost. According to the IMDb, there's only one actor in it, and he's trying to add the rest of the cast a couple of times, and it's just not, just kind of not added for some reason. So I don't know. Some things get on and some things don't get on. I don't understand.
Yeah. I think the more you add, the easier it is, and they'll put your stuff up straight away. But I know at the beginning, when you first start doing it, it doesn't work quite as quickly.
The other thing I was going to ask you is just you're obviously keeping yourself busy. Where do you find all the time? Between, the movies, the album you've put out, the food blog you have,
Well, I like being really busy. And I mean, lockdown, I know obviously a lot of people hated it. I actually really enjoyed it. So when we were allowed to meet up with friends, we were doing a lot of outdoor adventures last year. We climbed a couple of mountains and we were kind of camping and just being really outdoorsy, and I really enjoyed that. But then I also took a lot of time to write. So I've written a first draft of a vampire script that I really need to work on. I co-wrote a kind of a comedy series, actually, comedy drama, but it's about witches, with Cheryl Neave. So we did that over lockdown. So we've written all six episodes. And I'm also starting a murder mystery business with her as well. So we've been busy working on that, writing the script and putting together all the packs. So we're just trying to, we use the time to create stuff, really. But yeah, it's just all the films, though. It's just if I send out my availability and then people just have to book around whatever, whatever's in there already.
Can you tell us anything more about either the vampire film that you've worked on, you've written the script for, or the witch series?
I can, actually. So the vampire script, I basically created my own vampire lore. So sometimes vampires walk in the day, or sometimes, when they get staked, they turn into dust. So mine actually turned rubies. And it's a whole vampire lore. So only the first original vampires can actually create vampires. Other ones can just basically kill you. So all of the originals have died out. So vampires can't create anymore. So vampires becoming a dying breed. So they have to try and get all these rubies that the first vampire had kind of dusted into. They kind of spend years traveling the world trying to collect them all, and then there's going to be some kind of spell that kind of puts them back together but at the same time there's some gangsters trying to get this jewel, stolen jewel, and there's a strip club and there's Jack the Ripper, and it's kind of, there's going to be lots of fighting and lots of guns, and should be quite a lot of action actually, but with a cool kind of a cool kind of fantasy thing going on in there as well. So that's, I came up really short on pages, and I don't know how I managed it because there's so much in there. So I just need to really go in and have a look at that, and I think I'm just going to do a rewrite and take out what needs taking out, add where I need to. And the series it's about three women. It's called Hex in the City. So it's basically three, they're all very different. And then they kind of, they meet kind of serendipitously, and they become friends, even though they're all very different. And it's not really about witchcraft so much, it's more about like a comedy series about, you know, women living their lives and their jobs and their relationships and, you know, friendship, but obviously with a little bit of witchcraft and often disaster. So we're hoping to get that made, but I mean, I don't really know how to get my head around doing that at the moment. So we've created the deck and we need to start pitching. So yeah, I mean, hopefully that's going to keep us busy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, obviously you've already acted in a bunch of things and, you know, you've seen how set work and now you're writing different stuff. Is directing the next step?
I don't know. A lot of people ask me this. I mean, I wouldn't ever say never. Maybe something, if I mean, for these ones, I kind of want to act in them. So, and I think it's too everything. So maybe if it was something that, you know, I would only be in a tiny bit, then maybe I'd give it a go.
But you wouldn't consider, yeah, so you wouldn't consider directing either of these projects, the Hex in the City or the vampire one you're working on?
I mean, I don't know. I could. Maybe the film, I might try it out. We'll see. I do tend to kind of like just doing everything myself. So it is a possibility. And yeah, I haven't had a go. And I feel like I have, you know, I've seen it a lot and, you know, worked with directors a lot, so kind of know what goes on. So hopefully I'd give it a good shot.
That was the other thing I was going to ask about. So the which series is called Hex in the City? Have you settled on a title on the vampire film?
Well, I've got a working title, which is Blood and Glitter, but I just couldn't come up with a title actually, so I think it will change, but for now, who knows?
I suppose that's the kind of the fun thing about kind of vampire lore as well, of it's very flexible. Like you see, there's all these different mythologies and you know, like garlic can affect vampires in some things and not in others. Most daylight affects them, you know, but there's the odd one that daylight doesn't affect them, you know, so that you can kind of mix and match and kind of do what you want with the mythology.
Yeah, I mean, I think their mind can go out with sunblock on, so they just, yeah, they can go out if they wear sunblock.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem to kind of change from film to film, because like I remember like the first time I watched Bram Stoker's Dracula, and I was like, oh, how can he walk in the daylight? And then there's like Anthony Hopkins narration going like, not many people know that vampires can walk in the daylight, but they're just low powered. And I was like, oh, that's a helpful bit of narration. Thank you, Anthony Hopkins. You explained that little plot hole.
I mean, I really like Blade, and he's a daywalker, isn't he? But I love that trilogy.
Oh, yeah. It really, like, I love the first two. Actually, the Blade Trinity is funny. Like, Blade Trinity is not a good film, but, like, it's funny. I love the first two.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, there's some good vampire franchises. I mean, I like Dusk Till Dawn, and I think I like the third one. Second one's not so good.
I'm not sure if I've seen the third one, actually. From Dusk Till Dawn, this is a good, and I've definitely seen the second one. What's the third one?
I don't know. There's three, because I have them on DVD, but I'm not sure what it is. I know one, I think, is The Hangman's Daughter, possibly.
Uh-huh.
Or I might have
No, I think that's right. I think that is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're right there. I think that might be the one I've seen. So like I just can't remember. Obviously I've seen From Dusk Till Dawn a few times, so but not so much the sequels. I know I've definitely seen one of them and I can't remember which one.
Yeah, that's what I know, like, I like one of the sequels and not the other, but I'm not sure which is which.
Right, for sure. There's definitely some good, and like, yeah, I rewatched Blade just not that long ago, and I think even though there's some dodgy CGI effects, I think it by and large holds up, and Wesley Snipes is great.
Yeah, I haven't seen it for ages, actually. I might do that tonight.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. It's it's definitely it's like, because I wonder, because I hadn't I watched a couple months ago, and I was kind of wondering like, is it, I'm going to like it as much as I liked it in my teens and 20s, and yeah, pretty much did. Yeah.
Okay, Well, that bodes well then.
So that's kind of thrown me for some reason, this Blade chat. But I think, I was going to ask you, generally towards the end of the interview, I ask people, you know, kind of what they're up to next, but we've kind of covered all the bases, unless there's anything else that you're working on that you're holding out on us.
No, I think that's everything for now. I think that's everything for now. I mean, yeah, that's the rest of 2021 pretty booked up, which is good because it kind of makes up the first half of the year, because that was, you know, that was interesting, locked down for half a year. But yeah, I think you've covered it all.
Okay. So while we kind of wrap up the interview, is there anything that you want to kind of plug, promote, tell people where you're at on social media, you know, whatever? Just
Okay, well, my social media is at Miss Danny Tease, which is T-E-E-Z-E. And the murder mystery company we're setting up, that should hopefully launch in the next week or so. We're just waiting for the bank account to go through. And that's Murder Mysteries, Inc. So, I mean, I'm sure if it's on my page, there'll be links to it as well. So anyone wants to do murder mystery parties, we're doing it so that it's either can be played as a party or it can be played virtually via Zoom as well. So, I mean, we did a few during lockdown, which is what gave us the idea, but we were like, well, we can write really good scripts and we can make this fun. So that's my latest thing.
Excellent. That does sound fun. And it just leaves me to thank you very much for coming on the show. The listeners won't know this, but we had some recording issues. And so thank you very much for your patience with those. And since you're working on a million things, please do come back again when all those things have come out.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was my guest, Danny, there, who I'd like to thank once again for coming on the show. And as always, I'd like to thank you, listener, for tuning in to this latest episode of New Horror Express. And remember, if you like what you heard, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Also, if you are leaving a review, please make sure it is a 5-star review, because anything less than that makes the almighty algorithm think that the show is hopeless, which I certainly don't think it is. So leave those 5 stars. Thanks, guys. Anyway, unfortunately, that is all for this time, but be sure to join me next time when I will have another great guest from the world of indie horror. Until then, though, see ya!